This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj, and you're listening to Open for Business. And today's show is really such a product of our time. We talk about ownership a lot these days and what that means to people, right? And the idea of ownership has drastically changed ever since the millennial demographics started controlling the market. There's a lot less emphasis on physical ownership these days and a lot more importance given to the idea and the ease and this illusion of owning something. Think about it for a second. The music you quote-unquote own is actually on the cloud. Right? The movies you own are actually on whatever streaming service you use, so probably Netflix or Amazon or even Astro to a certain extent. And post-millennial generations are less likely to want to own a house or a car because that sense of pride in owning something and ownership isn't what it used to be. That's why I wanted to get Aziz Ayman on the show today to talk about his car subscription platform called Flux. He's got this fleet of pretty cool cars, like a nice mixed bag of continental and local that you can subscribe to on a monthly basis, and it also takes away the hassle of paperwork and maintenance on a yearly basis. But I'll let Aziz get into all those details in a bit. Aziz, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the obvious question. Could you give us like a brief overview of how Flux works as a service? Because it's a vehicle subscription service. How does that work exactly?
Flux is essentially redefining the way that people own cars. So right now, when you look at how Malaysians or residents in Malaysia consume mobility, typically, more often than not, they're going to a bank, they're getting a loan, they're being tied down to that loan for 5 to 9 years. And so for us, we're really trying to change that shift in paradigm whereby you no longer have to own the asset, but instead you are subscribing to it on a month-to-month basis. So with a Flux subscription, it's a all-inclusive type service. So insurance, road tax, maintenance is all bundled in, even wear and tear. So when you need to change your tires, when you need to change your wipers, and so on and so forth, it's all covered and handled by us. With our service, you essentially get the option to be able to choose from a variety of cars. So you're not necessarily locked in to a particular car. You're just locked into the service. So, for example, you sign up, you're signing up for, let's say, a 3-year subscription plan. In the first year, you could be subscribing to a, let's say, Kia Picanto. Let's say your economic situation has improved, you could upgrade to, let's say, a BMW 3 Series. And maybe in your third year, for example, you're expanding your family and need something a little bit bigger. And maybe you might subscribe to a Proton X70. Mm-hmm. And so with this, it gives you that flexibility to be able to choose a specific car that meets your lifestyle. And in addition to that, we also provide a concierge service because we noticed that a lot of consumers in Malaysia typically don't want to deal with the administrative matters when it comes to, maintaining the total cost of car ownership. And so for us, when it comes to renewal of any of those, insurance or road tax, even when it comes to sending your car in for its regular scheduled maintenance, our concierge will come to your house or to your office, pick up the car, deliver it to the service center, deal with the mechanic on your behalf, and then deliver it back to you. And the beauty about the subscription model essentially is that at the end of the subscription, you have a plethora of options. You can either, if you love the car, you can buy the car outright. If you're, here on a contract and you want to leave, you can obviously end your service, or obviously you can resubscribe to a different car. So that's what a Flux subscription is in a nutshell.
So, what gap in the market were you trying to solve with Flux? Because obviously you noticed that there was a need for something like this, right, in the Malaysian market. So what is the issue that you were trying to solve with a platform like Flux?
It was largely centered around the financing problem. Two parts, actually, is one, the financing problem, and secondly, also the convenience factor. Right now, when you look at it, car loans from banks essentially have a monopoly on how, Malaysians buy essentially mobility. And it hasn't largely been disrupted for, the last couple of decades. And so for us, it was really like, how does it make sense for you to be able to take out a long-term commitment to be able to purchase a depreciating asset at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, having to fork out anywhere between 10 to 20% upfront in terms of a down payment It really is an inflexible financial arrangement. And so for us, we really try to offer something that gave people, one, the flexibility to be able to adjust their mobility costs throughout their life cycle, which was great. Two, not impact the individual's household income by requiring a huge down payment up front. And three, the other part is the convenience factor that we do offer to the customer. Because one thing, again, as we noticed, that people don't want to manage it. And so that was really the simplicity in getting from point A to point B was really something that people wanted. And that's why we saw, like, you know, a lot of younger consumers really shifting away from traditional car ownership and exploring new modes of transportation. So you obviously have your e-hailing guys, you obviously have you know, your car sharing guys, but there was no like solution which allowed consumers to be able to have all the benefits of that car in their driveway or in their garage, but without those burdens, whether it be financial or whether it be convenience.
Okay, so that being said, right, how is a Flux subscription different from, let's say, the conventional way of owning a car, price-wise, let's say?
Gotcha. No, great question. Essentially, you know, as I mentioned, in the first year of ownership, it really does impact in terms of not having to be able to pay that upfront down payment. In addition to that, we really don't have any interest costs, you know, so it's an interest-free arrangement, especially for people who are looking for sort of Islamic finance solutions with regards to that. And in addition to that, you don't get those surprise costs throughout the life cycle. So more often than not, a lot of individuals typically compare what is the car loan repayment on a month-to-month basis versus the subscription, but they fail to take into account, you know, insurance and road tax, but obviously, you know, which is scheduled, which is something that can easily be identified. But in addition to that, those surprise costs that come in, you know, in the second and in the third year of ownership, where, you know, you're having to replace big automotive parts should they arise. And so it helps de-risk, you know, those costs. And so when you're looking at from an apples to apples comparison, you know, you're only paying a small premium of anywhere between, you know, 3% to 8% for the additional flexibility, for the additional convenience that you get through a Flux subscription. But just to share with you, you know, with our services, we are essentially a double-sided marketplace. So that means that actually the pricing and the inventory that is provided really comes from the automotive retailers that we work with, very similar to Airbnb. So you may get two cars of a similar make, a similar specification, similar year, but are priced differently, and it's because they come from the automotive retailers, which sets their own pricing for the vehicle.
Right. So Aziz, I'm curious about this. Like, who is your target market, would you say? Because you're not going for quote unquote affordable car ownership. That's not the niche, right? Because like you said, there is a small added premium to the overall monthly commitment. So is there a big enough market you think that wants, not to say short-term ownership, but flexible ownership like this in the Malaysian market?
Yeah, definitely. With regards to, I would say, from a financial perspective, we find that there are a lot of business owners typically gravitating towards this type of arrangement because, again, for them, cash flow and capital is paramount given these circumstances. And so for them, when they're using their own capital to be able to finance their business, every ringgit counts. And so there's definitely been a big pull from that demographic. And it's not one that we typically identified upfront, to be honest. It's one that naturally occurred during our evolution within the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. But other demographics that we have attracted over this period is really, again, that person who is willing to pay for that convenience. I guess it's similar to, like, you know, ride hailing, right? You know, initially, you know, it was a little bit more cost effective to be able to go through a ride hailing route. But then as time has progressed, you know, people are willing to be able to not wait on the sidewalk, wait to be able to hail a cab, but instead use the power of technology to be able to call one. And it's the same experience that we're seeing here, whereby we do have a lot of, you know, typically they are slightly skewed towards the female demographic, where previously, under traditional ownership model, they'll be relying upon their husbands, their fathers, their brothers to be able to help them with the management and the administration of the car ownership. these individuals are the type, and then again, there's quite a large segment where a lot of individuals really perceive, I want this car, it's really to be able to go from point A to point B, and really nothing really else. And it's one other additional surprise segment that we uncovered, because when we assumed like such an innovative concept, such a new concept to Malaysia would really be more appealing towards a younger demographic, we were quite surprised that quite a significant segment within our customer base is actually between the 50 to 70 year old demographic. And again, it's because they're at a position in their life where they're financially more stable. And they don't want to lean upon, let's say, their younger siblings or, let's say, their children to be able to help with this administrative matters. And so really they want to be able to outsource it to a service like ours.
Okay. So what happens to, let's say, car maintenance? Because, how do you ensure that the cars that you have in your fleet that are subscribed to are kept well by whoever is subscribing to them, because that has to be a big factor, right? Even though you take care of, like you said, like the repairs and stuff, how do you ensure that wear and tear is taken care of?
Gotcha. No, for us, it's all about keeping clear lines of communication with the end user itself and also leveraging on technology. So for us, we have very clear milestones managed by sort of like a CRM management system, whereby we outfit all our cars with telematics device. So we know how the car is performing through its use. And whenever anything kind of crops up, whether there's an unexpected wear and tear or an unexpected component that has either malfunctioned, it's about reaching out to those individuals or them reaching out directly to us, us picking up and diagnosing the vehicle with the authorized service centers, and dealing with it all on behalf of the member with the authorized service center. And essentially, once it is resolved, bringing it back and then monitoring it again through that telematics device and through those constant line of communications with the end user at the end of the day. For us, we often find that doing a lot of preemptive work really makes a lot of big difference. So even before the cars are even listed onto the platform, we do a lot of due diligence and inspect the vehicles to be able to ensure that they meet a certain standard. And so therefore, that helps minimize, the risks of any of these, surprise malfunctions happening through the use of the vehicle.
Right, we are going to take a quick break, but stick around. Aziz and his car subscription platform Flux will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvraj, and joining me on the show today is Aziz Ayman. He's the founder of Flux. It's a car subscription service or platform that allows you the ease of having your own car that you can swap out at any given time or even convert to a purchase without having to worry about the yearly paperwork or stuff like trips to the mechanic. So what is the goal from a turnover point of view? Because let's say like someone has a car for X number of years and then decides to return it, right? They don't convert it into a purchase, so they return the car. What happens to that car after that? Because obviously, or not obviously, maybe it's not in a good enough condition to be subscribed by someone else. So what's the turnover for the fleet like? What are you looking at?
So again, we are only into our first year of operations, so I would say it's still a bit too early to tell. You only start realizing those sort of, I would say, or having to ask those kind of questions towards sort of the fifth and sixth year of the ownership of the vehicle. And again, a lot of the cars that we've had are typically, one to anywhere between 4 years, so we haven't really had to ask those hard questions quite yet. But in terms of how the process actually works, when the cars again come back to us, they are fully inspected, because again, we need to return the car in a condition that is similar to that we gave it, less wear and tear obviously, so that the automotive retailer doesn't have a even more depreciated asset that they can't essentially monetize on. And so for us, it's really a conversation with the automotive retailer. Would they like to resubscribe out the car so long it meets our age guidelines? And if they do want to resubscribe the car, then it would go for a reinspection to be able to ensure that it's of, you know, the similar quality that we want to maintain within our platform. But more often than not, we can, most automotive retailers from a strategy standpoint, typically what they're doing is that they're subscribing these cars out during the sweet spot. So when it comes to car depreciation, you know, obviously you're being hit by a huge amount of depreciation your first 2 years, and then that depreciation curve flattens out between the third and the fifth year. And then after the fifth year, that's typically when most automotive retailers typically want to be able to sell their vehicles.
Yeah. So I also wanted to ask, tap on wood, in the event of, let's say, an accident, the car is like totally wrecked. So what happens to a person's subscription? Like who do you hold responsible for an event like that?
Yeah, in those sort of circumstances, you know, again, it depends on whether like the insurance that is taken out for that particular vehicle is being called upon. So again, who is the cause of the accident? Was it self-inflicted by the member, or was it by an external party? But the idea here is that if it's, you know, caused by, let's say, the driver itself, you know, we've purchased and we've designed a specific insurance product to be able to handle for this. So again, all those costs will essentially be borne by the insurance policy that is taken out. Obviously, it helps the fact that we do have a telematics device, so we can see how the car was being used and even recreate what the circumstances were, so how fast the person was driving, what was the G-force, what was the braking pressure used to be able to stop the car, to be able to help, again, process that claim. So the more data gives us definitely a lot more insights. But when that happens, essentially, insurance, again, that's taken out by us, which is, again, bundled in to the entire cost of the subscription, covers essentially the cost of repairing the vehicle to its original state. However, you know, we obviously want to create an incentive mechanism to be able to make sure that all parties within the ecosystem operate, you know, well and are good actors. And so we do include an accident fee to be able to cover the loss, let's say either the NCD or the slight loss in the residual value, because now the car is now considered to be an accident car. So that, again, will be remitted back to the automotive retailer post the accident.
So I want to talk about competition a bit, because you mentioned ride hailing a number of times just now, and I wanted to know, so do you consider ride hailing competition? Because like fewer people need cars now because of those big guys, you know, like Grab to a certain extent.
I guess when you take a step back and you look at mobility in general, yeah, definitely e-hailing is an alternative to a car subscription, where I would say that, you know, given the right sort of circumstances, so, you know, your home is close to your commute and it makes financial sense for you to be able to, you know, grab or use e-hailing every day. Sure, that's definitely considered competition. But for us, like, you know, we view competition primarily, again, drawing back to the car loan, because we're trying to, again, redefine the way that, you know, people own cars. But even within the space itself that we have right now, we do have, you know, big car brands actually offering car subscriptions, which is one, I would say, great, because this is, as you say, a new service, a new innovative concept that really is requires a lot of education. So the more players that there are in the marketplace, it really does allow for there to be, you know, quicker market acceptance, because there, you know, is better legitimacy with regards to this type of service. Mm-hmm. But again, when it comes to these sort of players, again, they're a little bit locked in, because they can only offer the models that are within their brand. And so for us, because we have the choice of Kia Picanto all the way up to, you know, right now we just recently added a Maserati Ghibli. So you have that choice to be able to switch and swap as your needs change. And that flexibility does really translate to the core value that we're trying to deliver to our end customer.
So how do you make those choices though? Like how do you gauge the market demand and stock up on the right cars? Like is there a process there? Like how do you choose what to have in your fleet or in your catalog?
Yeah, I mean, I think with it being still such a new concept, and again, for our track record for us only being around for a year, a lot of it is really a lot about experimentation. Of course, you know, you do your due diligence, you do your market research, and you do create your consumer profiles to be able to understand and see who would be your ideal target customer. But again, it's a little bit of a balancing act because on one side, of course, you're trying to create a product to be able to target specific end consumers. But again, we also treat our automotive retailers as well as end consumers that we have to offer our service to. And so for them, it's the value proposition for them is what cars are not moving on their platform, what cars are maybe a little bit slower that they need to be able to monetize, because obviously holding those cars for, let's say, anywhere between 6 to 12 months incurs, you know, depreciation costs, inventory costs, interest costs with regards to the financing. And so we really want to also be able to solve those problems for our automotive retailers that we work with. And so it's a really a bit of a balancing act to be able to, you know, be that matchmaker, you know, essentially you identify a certain profile or set of profiles with inventory that you have accessible to you. And then you have certain profiles that are requesting a certain type of demand. And then you actively hunt and you look for inventory that is available. But for us, you know, what we saw, you know, especially during, you know, this situation, you know, all of a sudden times with the impact to people's finances, that it's really all about like driving to more affordable options in the marketplace. And so right now, our given strategy is to be able to look for cars that can meet people's budgets, which is, again, a little bit more tempered down.
Obviously, I can't do this interview without talking about the pandemic. So I have to ask about that, like how it has affected you, what impact it has had. I would assume that you saw a dip in demand, but at the same time, after what you said, it's also giving people the option to own vehicles that maybe they wouldn't be able to own the conventional way because of the pandemic. So how's the company doing at the moment?
Yeah, no. Obviously, when the lockdown happened, which unfortunately happened as we were running like a massive marketing campaign offering, you know, very attractive you know, offers to our end users, 99 ringgit for the first month of subscription, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's a 5 series or not, it completely dampened the demand because we had a huge bucket of users who made these reservations. But at the end of the day, we couldn't deliver them because no one could obviously travel. And again, a lot of these reservations essentially canceled. But as soon as the lockdown, you know, was removed, the government obviously introduced the sales tax holiday and the market rebounded. People started car shopping because they thought that, you know, obviously now's the time to be able to capitalize on these deals. Mm-hmm. And when, as you quite rightly put, you are now able to access maybe a better car that you typically wouldn't have been able to purchase through conventional means via a subscription-based model, it definitely did stretch us. And so for us, it's very interesting, you know, when demand is down, essentially the balancing side of the equation, the supply side, a lot of more automotive retailers want to participate in our platform and we don't have enough demand to fulfill them. But as soon as that sales tax really kicked in, essentially it was the reverse. We had too many customers, but we couldn't find the cars to be able to fulfill them. And so, unfortunately, like during those periods, it was a case of us having to turn away customers, which wasn't obviously great. But it's something that, you know, we're continuously learning to see how we can balance our marketing strategies for both sides of the marketplace so that we can achieve somewhat a good equilibrium to be able to fulfill the demand as well as the supply needs.
Mm-hmm. Couple of more questions, Aziz. So what are some of the challenges that you're facing at the moment with Flux? Besides the pandemic, besides the stuff that we've spoken about, what are some of the other challenges that you're facing?
Yeah, actually, a lot of the times is really the education component. Car subscriptions, again, is so new. And so for us, it's about being able to educate the consumer of like, okay, what is a car subscription? What kind of needs does it fulfill? What kind of problems does it solve for you? And how can you kind of take advantage of it? But even more so, car subscriptions just in general, all of them are not made equal. So what is being offered by, let's say, one of our competitors to what is a Flux subscription isn't necessarily the same thing. And so being able to, one, get them to understand just the basic premise of what a subscription is and how it's different to specifically what is a Flux subscription and how it's different relative to, you know, the competition is, I would say, an added layer. And so when you couple that with the fact that, you know, obviously in Malaysia, we traditionally have quite an Asian mindset whereby when I pay for something, I want to own it, right? And so for us, it's about breaking that mindset whereby now that you're paying for something, you know, it's mobility as a service, you are getting all these value-added benefits that you wouldn't get with traditional ownership, but you are foregoing the fact that you own the car at the end of the day. So really, it's that continual battle to be able to educate the consumer and to really get them to understand the big value proposition that a car subscription service like Flux offers.
Last question, Aziz. So what is next for Flux? Because like you, we've spoken about this, it's been like a weird year for everyone. What is next and what are you looking to do 2021 onwards?
Yeah, I mean, again, there are a lot of positive signs, leading indicators that, you know, obviously consumers are becoming a little bit more bullish with regards to their spending. You know, obviously cars are a big ticket item. So it's really a sign for us to be able to drive growth. And so what that means is on really two fronts. One is expanding the horizon and what kind of cars that we offer. We really want to be able to, again, fulfill like, you know, the lower segment, the more affordable segment, as well as expanding towards the premium side. But in addition to that, it's all about driving geographic expansion and really understanding what are the nuances within that. So for us, you know, when we first launched, we now only operate within the Klang Valley because we're constrained by our concierge service. But we still do have customers who are outside of the Klang Valley area. Even when we first launched, we had customers from Cebu and Kuching asking for a subscription-based service. It would be a goal of ours to be able to help fulfill that untapped demand in those regions.
Aziz, thanks so much for your time.
Not a problem. Happy to be able to be here.
Right, we have to wrap up, but that was Aziz Aiman, founder of the car subscription service or platform Flux. And like I said, such a product and such a reflection of our time, right? You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, bfm.my. We are also on the BFM app, which is available to download for free on the Apple App Store on Google Play. Alternatively, we are also on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.